ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to The Fringe of It,
episode number 28. Testing the podcast. That wasn't bad, was it? Actually more in tune than I thought.
I thought it was beautiful. I hope you enjoyed our outtakes there. We always test the sound every week and live...
I've got to try and keep it original and imaginative to keep Charlotte interested every week.
Yeah, some weeks I just get she's like, hi, yes, Liv.
I'm like, testing. But this week, I've got a spring in my step, apparently.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
That might have assaulted some ears on the commute, though.
What's caused the spring, may I ask?
I don't know. Do you know what? I think earlier this week, I had a bit of a few down days.
Yeah.
I had a bit of a wobble. And I think sometimes after that, I had a couple of, like, I'm going to be really productive days. And this morning, I got up, I snoozed once. That's record for me. I snoozed once, got up, and I was really productive. I've sorted my taxes out. The sun is shining. I could hear the birds, like, singing earlier. I was like, God, it feels like I'm in a film.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Was
that
you this morning?
I know, it's just clear blue skies in London. So, yeah, just feel a bit perkier, which is nice.
So what was causing the bad mood? Just general funk?
I don't know. I think it is. It's just a lot of stress. I think I'm someone that definitely gets quite stressy and quite anxious. And I was just like, oh, everything's a bit too much. Just a bit, you know, one of those days. But I'm feeling a lot better and just, you know, one of those things.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm glad to say you're feeling better.
How are you?
I'm good. I've had so many visitors in the past week. I think the last episode, Jack's parents had just been. And then we had Jack's younger sister. I mentioned that last episode. And then we had our really good friends from Margate came with their twins.
Oh, I saw that on your Instagram.
Yeah, so it was so much fun. But having three under twos in your house, a little bit of an eye twitch by the end.
I can imagine.
Yeah, but it was lovely. It was just like really made the house feel like a home. We did loads of cooking. And just generally just like used my dining room table how I've always wanted it to be used. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like
candles and flowers.
Accommodating a lot of people.
Yeah, hosting. It was really, really nice. But I feel a little bit guilty because I left June this morning being a bit sick. So, But she's with my mum. So she'll be fine.
She's being looked after. Have you done anything else lovely this week?
What else lovely have I done? No, that's it. No, I can't think of anything else.
I feel like I've had a bit of one of those quiet weeks. I have got an exciting plan for this weekend, though.
Oh, go on.
I need to book it, actually. That reminds me. I'm going to a Christine and the Queen's dance workshop.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Where are you doing that?
I think it's at Frame, which is one of those places in London, which is like a gym, has all these classes, and I've always been too intimidated to go because I feel like it's for cool media types who like to exercise. So I've always been a bit intimidated. I've been told it's not like that. But they do lots of dance workshops, like Beyonce and all of that kind of thing.
Oh, I would be into that. Mind you, I think I'm a better dancer than I am because I used to be a dancer.
Oh, in a previous life.
Yeah, and I was always ahead of my years. Oh. I was always in the group like 2-3 years ahead.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I went back to ballet and I was like, oh my God, this is hard work. Because I did it 7 days a week.
I used to be too shy. I used to do ballet when I was little, but I always used to make my nan hold my hand. Oh. So I'd meet everyone else and I used to make my nan hold my hand so I could dance.
The cutest thing I've ever
heard. I'm just, shy child.
I like tap. I feel like it reflects my personality.
Oh, I love a tap. Do you know what? I used to do tap.
A bit chorus line.
We had wooden floors in my parents' house and my dad had to get a square of wood for me to dance on.
I had one of those.
So I wouldn't ruin the floor. I had my own little tap step.
Me Me too. I had a work, what do you call them? Like where do you chop vegetables?
Oh, like a chopping board.
No, like the worktops.
Oh my God.
Yeah, outside at my grandparents. And I used to, you know, do the Chattanooga Choo Choo and chorus line and the like.
Oh my God.
We should revive that.
I think we should. I can still do a little bit. I'm not quite Michael Flatley. He's in more of an Irish dance than a tap dance.
Yeah, but you know, I am, so out of my way.
I didn't realise it's about you. I like you even more now. One other thing I wanted to mention is a singer I discovered this week.
Oh, please educate me, because obviously I've never heard of them.
Yeah, so it's a girl called Molly Birch. Yeah. She's amazing. And she's got a song called To The Boys, which I've pretty much listened to on repeat this week. So if you do want to listen to something else after this, may I suggest that?
Oh, do you know what? I'm going to throw something in the mix. It's not new, but I've been listening to it on repeat, and I've been listening to Leon Bridges.
Love a bit of Leon
Bridges.
On repeat.
I feel like it's really autumnal. There's, I don't know, it's just a bit like sexy and a bit kind of like snuggly.
Snuggly song.
Yeah.
What is your snuggly song this week?
Well, there's a playlist that I listen to all the time this time of year. And you know Catbird, our favourite jewellery.
Oh, Autumn in New York.
Yes.
Yeah, I know the playlist.
Yeah, you know the one.
I know what. First Aid Kit are great to listen to as well.
Oh, are they? Is that kind of...
Emmy Lou is a good one because it's like, oh, the winter winds are coming in and I'm already missing the summer.
We're already 5 minutes in and both of us have sung.
I've sung twice.
And I said to somebody the other day, normally when I say somebody, I mean Instagram.
Yeah.
It's very much kind of like rom-com in New York, like Harry Met Sally weather.
I love it. Oh, makes my hands go into little balls.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, it's too hot. What is it out there, 22?
No, it's not that warm, is it?
I don't know, but I think it's like not less than 18.
Yeah, and when it was 12 degrees,
when it was 12 degrees, I remember like trying to put sandals on. Whereas now I'm just like stomping around in boots.
Earlier this week, I was like, "Joe, do you think I need a coat?" And he's like, "Do you realise it's still quite warm outside?" I was like, "No, it is. It's like hot chocolate weather again." He's like, "Are you mad?
Just calm yourself right down, Purvis.
I can't stop. It's not appropriate hat wearing weather yet, though. I don't feel."
Oh, I had a hat on the other day.
I saw that and I was a bit like, oh, wouldn't go for a bobble just yet.
To be fair, that was Monday. It was pretty Baltic on Monday.
It's like keeping a coat on indoors. Like you're not going to feel the benefit if you start wearing your hats now.
Well, I know, honestly, but it was cold up north on Monday.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll let you off this once.
Moving on to shopping.
What have you been buying this week?
Not a lot of exciting things. Firstly, I've been buying a lot of socks.
Oh, where do you get your socks from?
Well, I've decided to upgrade my socks because I used to be a five black pair pack person.
Oh.
Boring. From Marx's. No offence to Marx's, but I felt it didn't really reflect my personality.
Your socks have got to... Oh my God, imagine if that was the case.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell people about your underwear that I saw once upon a time when you were wearing Christmas underwear in the middle of May.
Okay.
Let's
not mention that.
Monkey. First of all, it's three for two, and they're all like spangly Lorex kind of...
I do like a Lorex sock,
yeah,
but
me too.
I do find it a bit scratchy sometimes.
Not scratchy, very slippy, nearly gone over in the bathroom 3 times this week.
Oh, you need like grippers on yourself, like bed socks.
Exactly that. So I've been doing that, and the other thing that I have bought is I've been trying to avoid Zara, and I had a little bit of a rant about this on my stories, because I love Zara, but what I don't love about Zara is we're all wearing Zara.
Yeah.
You know, when you turn up Zara and you're like, oh, I got this from Zara. Oh, you're wearing it too.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to buy less from Zara, but I went on their website because somebody showed me a really cute jumper for June that's got daisies on. That's another thing. Doesn't come in adult size. I'm pretty annoyed about that, but I bought some cream boots which are sat in the corner over there. And I've had them on for 5 days in a row.
Oh, that's exactly what my outfit needs today. Nice cream boot.
Yeah, because it's not quite black boot weather.
But I feel like all the cool Scandinavian girls are wearing cream boots.
And Charlotte Jacqueline.
And you. You are basically a Scandi babe.
I am. Thanks for that. So, yeah, that's it. Not a lot. And I've also been sorting my wardrobe out because I want to make sure that I'm buying the right thing. So this week, because I don't have that much spare time, I've just done my knitwear, which sounds nice. Really kind of like I own so much knitwear. But it was just kind of going through, folding it properly. I want to get one of those buzzers.
Oh, to like shave off the bubbles.
Yeah, there's a lot of bobbling that needs to happen.
I need to do that.
And then I've done things that I should have done when I packed my winter stuff away, which was take things to the cobblers to get rehealed.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah, so I've been doing some wardrobe maintenance this week.
Really,
I can't do the big switchover because I'm not going on holiday till the middle of October.
Oh, that's frustrating.
Well, isn't it? Oh,
it's so hard.
I know, my holiday is so annoying.
You poor love. Oh no, I know what you mean. Like, I like folding knitwear because when I worked in retail, whenever it was like hung up, it would just grow.
Yeah, you can't be hanging your knitwear on.
Oh no, like especially I was in Whistles and they had these long jumpers and they were so heavy, they'd become jumper dresses.
Yes, madam, that's how it's supposed to be worn.
And I was like, oh god. But oh, you bought some nice things.
Yeah,
get on you.
Thanks. And I've got some other things on the way.
Ooh.
So we'll see.
I'll save that for next week.
Yeah, because they might be returned. Who knows?
Okay. Well, I'll keep my eyes peeled.
What you been buying?
Well, I paid a little visit to Kittery this week, and I hadn't looked on their phrase. They've got great t-shirts, like ones with nice designs on them. I kind of would sit them in the bracket of finery.
Mm.
So they're kind of similar to that. They do really great classic pieces, some kind of workwear style pieces, but with really nice kind of contemporary designs, some quite classic. I bought this dress I'm wearing, which obviously you can't see.
It's divine.
It's like a green, it looks a bit like, I think it's a bit Ganny-ish.
Yes. Yeah.
It's kind of like a green mid-length tea dress. And it's got white, yellow and pink flowers on it. And it's just a really nice in-between dress.
I love it.
I really like it. And it comes in a shorter sleeve one as well.
I've already checked to see if they do my size. They do. So expect me to be wearing it next week.
Perfect. As seen on Liv.
Oh yeah, look, I've got these clips on that I've seen on Liv.
I do like those. I've not
had them out. My little pearl hair slides.
Well, I won't wear mine today.
I'm interrupting. What else did you buy?
I bought another thing from there. I bought this like bluey, purpley tartan smock dress, which has little like cuffed, ruffled cuffs, and that's really lovely as well. So I'm excited to wear it with my cowboy boots. And the other thing that I picked up this week was from a brand called Nighttime Holiday, and they're a little brand that I discovered on Instagram, as I do with all good things. And they do the most gorgeous ceramic earrings.
These are amazing.
Aren't they amazing? They're all like hand-painted and hand-crafted. Yeah, they're absolutely gorgeous. I picked up the poppy print
They
ones.
Look great with your dress as a print clash.
Wow. Okay, maybe I'll go for those. But yeah, they've just got so many gorgeous like hand-done ceramic jewellery, well, earrings per se, and I absolutely love the branding.
What's
as
their
well.
Instagram handle?
Good question. Their Instagram handle...
Sorry to get all admin on you.
I know, edge of my seat stuff is night. I think it is just Nighttime Holiday. All together.
Their branding is lovely.
It's
really,
such
really
gorgeous
nice.
Branding. And I think they make gorgeous gifts as well.
Oh yeah, start thinking about that.
Oh, start thinking about Christmas. I know, we won't
mention
that.
You said the word. I wasn't going to say it.
Oh, okay.
She said it first, not me.
Okay, I'm sorry. Shall we move on to Telly Talk?
I feel like you need to start with Telly Talk because once I get talking about what I want to talk about, I'm not going to stop.
Okay, so I've got three things on my list. One of them is the Other Shit film, which I won't reference. I was watching something on Netflix the weekend and I was just so disappointed by it. I was going to mention it, but I was like, no.
No, let's tell people they need to beware.
Okay, so one of my friends who she never gets it wrong. She got it wrong. Sorry, Daisy, if you're listening. But it was the film called, I can't even remember the full title, Sierra Something is a Big Loser on Netflix.
And it was just a pile of shit.
It was just so bad. It was just, we didn't watch it. We stopped halfway.
Wow.
And we were like...
The only film I've done that with is Mamma Mia 1.
Oh, wow. It was more...
Twist that knife.
It was more problematic than Mamma Mia 1. It just had so many things that... I mean, I think the word problematic can sometimes be a little bit overused. But for this, I was just like, this is the kind of thing you'd see a big think piece on online, because it was so many things. I was like, no!
Really, what, like sexist or...
Just like, not even that. Just like things that you think, oh, like... Just there was a few things about consent, and then
oh no,
but it was like this girl was catfishing this guy, but it was because she liked him, and like, it's just all a bit messy, and I was just a bit disappointed. It's the starring the girl who plays Barb from Stranger Things, who has an actress name.
I haven't watched Stranger Things. So.
Okay, but no, I was disappointed by that.
So avoid.
I do avoid that. Don't waste your time. The thing I went to see in the cinema yesterday...
The cinema. I miss the cinema.
Oh, I went to see A Simple Favour.
I haven't even seen it advertised. What is it about?
I was seeing it on Instagram stories quite a lot advertised. Kept popping up for me. And it's about...
Clearly not its target demographic. Maybe I'm too old.
Well, you know what? I reckon... No, you're not at all. Let me... I'm going to get the...
Synopsis
up, because I know I'll bodge it up, as I always do. But the synopsis is A Simple Favour centres around Stephanie, a mummy vlogger, who seeks to uncover the truth behind her best friend Emily's sudden disappearance from their small town.
Oh.
So it's kind of thrillerish, but it's also got a lot of humour. Mm. So it's quite, I'd say it's a light-hearted thriller, but it was comfortably one of the strangest films I've ever seen. So bizarre. Like, me and Joe's sister Molly came out of the cinema and we were just like, did you like that? Like, we could not put it
on. Oh, I love those films where you don't know if you liked it or you didn't. You're just confused.
It was one of those films we looked at each other and I was like, if someone were to say to me, did you enjoy that? I'd be like, I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
Really funny. I think, well, I mean, I'm not a great judge of character because I haven't seen anything like, is it Gone Girl? Girl on the Train? I've not seen any of those.
Oh, no, I've not seen those. They're not my cup of tea.
So I'm not a great judge for a thriller. I mean, it wasn't too thrillerish, but it was just bizarre. Just a really bizarre film. But I kind of recommend it. I
mean, okay. Well, what's the third thing? Do you recommend that?
I do recommend it. It was first.
Okay, we're getting there.
This week's First Dates.
Oh, okay. So last week I was at First Dates Hotel. It's over. It's done. It's back.
Did you watch it this week?
Well, no, because I didn't know it was on. And there was a
right. And then I said to you, I was like, this is great. You should be watching. You were like, I'm getting ready for bed. And I was like, I don't know you anymore.
No, I have. No, I've started going to bed earlier.
What? Because First Dates Hotel wasn't on?
Yes, in a huff. No, I've just been staying up too late and I'm really tired and cranky.
Okay.
So I will watch it. I'll download it for the train
home
tonight.
I feel like I don't know whether we should talk, but then next week will be 2 weeks. But
no, we can't talk about it. You can't ruin it for me. I can ruin Downton Abbey for everybody, okay, but you can't ruin First Dates for me.
Okay, there was one date and there was a young girl and a young guy and she was very dramatic.
Oh,
I won't say anything.
Okay,
else.
I'll watch it on the train home. We can discuss it next week.
I don't like calling women hard work. I don't think that's appropriate. But she was a challenge.
Okay, right.
Is that even appropriate?
I'm not sure. I will get back to you next week. I am dying to talk to you about what I've watched this week. So basically, Jack's been away, and I've had the run of the telly, and it's been amazing.
I feel like you always have the run of the telly.
Well, pretty much I have the run of the telly, but this was like 14-year-old girl watch whatever trash I want kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
You've seen my notes. Don't look at my
notes.
No,
I've not seen your notes, but I'm just wondering whether have you watched Call Me By Your Name yet?
No. So, right, let's start.
I saw you got it from the library.
No, but let's go back. So I wanted to watch it on Amazon Prime, but to watch it on Amazon Prime through the telly, you have to buy it on a computer or mobile. And then I tried on my app and I couldn't do it. I text Jack at work, who's on set, being like, can you buy Call Me By Your Name? Because I need to watch it immediately. He couldn't figure it out. So I had to go to the library and rent the DVD.
But you've not watched it. That'll be next week.
No, that's Friday. Yeah, I'm watching that on Friday.
Okay, fine. So back to what you have watched this week.
So because I couldn't watch that, I got in a bit of a huff because it took me, I just felt really old and just couldn't figure out technology. But then I found on Netflix, Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool. So first of all, Liverpool, amazing. Jamie Bell, Julie Walters and Stephen Graham.
What a cast.
What a cast.
Julie Walters in anything, but especially Liverpool.
I know, and Jamie Bell, oh, he makes me weak at the knees.
I thought you were going to say something else then, but I'm glad you said that. They don't make him like that anymore.
They really don't. He's just so passionate. So it's about an Academy Award winning actress called Gloria Graham and her relationship with... She was married four times, I think, because I went into a big research mode after this. And this is her boyfriend after her fourth marriage, and he's called Peter Turner, and it's about their relationship. And he's a lot younger than her, like 20, 30 years younger than her, and it's very saucy.
Wow. Is it a crier?
Oh, it's an ugly cry. I can't see the screen.
So it's like hot, inflamed passion and deep, hysterical tears.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. I bet you felt like you'd just come off a roller coaster by the end.
Well, I honestly, yeah, felt like I'd lived it.
I bet you felt like you'd owned a couch to 5K.
It was amazing. And, yeah, the sets are fantastic. The interiors.
Okay,
Jamie Bell's fantastic.
Definitely going to watch this. Definitely.
Yeah, no, 100%. Everyone stop what you're doing. Like, stop listening to this podcast and go and watch it. And then...
Don't do that.
if you just follow this train of thought, I was putting my makeup on, I've got a new Glossier blusher and it's called Dawn, and every time I look at it I think of the Babysitter's Club. Now, are you too young for the Babysitter's Club?
Yes.
I thought you might be. So anybody that is too young for the Babysitter's Club, there were books I used to read in the 90s.
I remember the books, I used to see them in the library.
They had bricks.
Yeah, no, I remember them. I think I read a couple.
Well, I read them all. My oldest friend, Rachel, and her sister, Laura, we used to read them. They had them all and I used to borrow them from there. And they were written by Anne M. Martin. And they were published between 1986 and 2000, but I had stopped reading them by the early 2000s, I think.
Hopefully.
So I was just like going on this little train of thought on Instagram and somebody was like, do you know the Babysitter's Club film is on Netflix? And I was like, pardon, what? And it's been years since I watched it, I barely remembered it. And it was fantastic.
I saw some of your Instagram stories of some of the style inspiration.
Well, I mean, those girls have got it going on. Dawn, I mean, she's so 2018. She's saving plastic. She's reducing food waste. She's on it.
Wow, what a millennial!
I know. In the 90s,
or a good person,
yeah, well, yeah, though. Generally just a good soul. But they redo this greenhouse in the woods, and it was just the sweetest thing I've ever seen. And the other thing that I really loved about it was all the outfits were amazing. And you know that spirit of like young adolescence, where it's just really fun. And I feel like we really lose that as we get older. But yeah, if anybody was a Babysitter's Club fan, the film is on Netflix. Even if you're not and you just like 90s films, I really enjoyed myself.
Ooh, I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, it's a bit Now and Then vibe, which have you still not watched that?
No.
Right, we need a day.
We need a day. We need a
day. And then the last thing that I've been watching, but actually I can't talk about it because I'm not finished, is I started This Beautiful Fantastic on the BBC.
Ooh.
It was just really whimsical, and it's about this girl who lives on her own, in fabulous outfits, and she has an allotment and her neighbour complains that her allotment is overgrown and she has to go on a journey of developing her allotment. I mean, it sounds like a weak plot, but it looked really good. The trailer's great.
That sounds brilliant.
And there's a handsome man in glasses who lives in the library and I think they get together. See, it's rom-com season. Autumn just makes me feel
gonna put that on tonight.
Alive with romance.
Ooh.
So that's it for me this
week.
Shall
we move on to Fridge Fantasies?
I love the way that our editor Rosie inserts music, but we still feel the need to do it anyway.
Oh yeah, just in case. Just in case.
Just in case she's lost that bit of music.
Yep.
Go on.
Okay, I have two Fridge Fantasies this week. The first are these.
Oh, sorry if that... you're going to have to put them down.
Okay, they're a bit rustly.
She won't open them until she's talked about them.
No, I won't. They are the Livia's Kitchen Bicky Bombs, and I do not really like healthy snacks in general. Like,
I like a naked bar.
Don't mind a naked bar.
Choc orange.
I'm not like, even the mini nugget thingies.
What's a nugget?
No, not a nugget. The little, like, naked balls you can
get. Oh, I haven't had a nugget.
I don't mind.
Are they officially called
nuggets? Actually, no, nuggets are the Olivia's Kitchen ones, which I do like. But anyway, I've lost my train of thought. I don't love a healthy snack. I don't really like dates disguised as anything other than a date.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I'd much rather spend those calories on something like a biscuit. But I do like these. They are date. They're like date and cacao and all the good things. And they're just really quite delicious. And
I've had Livia's Kitchen stuff and I really like it.
I love Livia's Kitchen. They do their crumbles. I love like everything she does.
What's in a Bicky Bomb? So they're dates.
So excuse the rustling. It's raw cacao based confectionery. So I think it's just indulgence with a twist. Oh, here we go. It's raw cacao coating with a crumbly biscuit and soft date centre. And it's really, really tasty.
Their millionaire shortbread's fantastic.
I really see. I've always avoided that because I'm not sure.
It's heavy datey.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, that's good because surely it keeps you regular, right?
Keeps your regs.
With the cacao.
Good. The cacao.
Straight through.
I will give that a go. Maybe I won't. The last thing I saw on stories this morning, I sent it to you. Don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's Pret's Raspberry Jam Croissant.
I've got several questions about this. So the jam is inside the croissant.
So do you know how, like, if I like a plain croissant, but I do like it with jam.
Yeah.
But there's just, you can't spread it on the train. You've got the utensils. Who wants to use cutlery that's going to go into bad landfills? All the questions.
I want to know you need to try it because I need to know exactly how much jam is in there.
Okay, I'll get one tomorrow.
Because I don't want there to be too much jam.
Okay.
And also, Pret have got these little chocolates that I ate yesterday. They're chocolate and almond butter. So it's just really dark chocolate with almond butter. But it was weird. The first one I ate, I was like, not for me. Second one I ate, I was like, I'm into it. You only get two in a pack. And then I wanted more.
Oh, that's how I feel about the Bicky Bombs. Anything slightly healthy, I'm like, oh, I'm not sure. And then suddenly I'm like, oh, yeah.
After you've eaten 20.
Bathe me in Bicky Bombs. No, they are really good. They Bicky do recommend. Bombs.
Sorry. We're naming so many things this week.
I know, so many things. What have you been eating?
I have been eating... It's not that interesting, but me and Jack have made 2 fish pies in a week. So the first fish pie we made, hopped onto Good Food, put in fish pie. You don't like fish pie?
Not really.
Just going to do up this electric window between us, invisible. Well, for people out there that do like fish pie and appreciate food, we tried a good food one. And you know, you go on this Good Food website, you trust Good Food, nothing goes wrong. Well, this recipe was a disaster.
Oh, no.
It was for 2 fish pies, which at no point did they tell you till you were at step 5. So we could have reduced the recipe by half. Jack used every pot in the kitchen. Anyway, while he's not been here, I went round to Mum's house and I got Jamie Oliver's second book that came out in the year 2000 and cooked his fantastic fish pie. Yeah, and it was sensational, and I love it. So if anybody out there that likes a fish pie, I don't normally slag off Good Food, but definitely use Jamie's. And then the other thing that I've been doing, I haven't been cooking so much, but I've been to the library to borrow some cookbooks.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, so I got
a good idea because I buy them. I've got no place for them and they're starting to take over the kitchen.
Yeah, I'm on a cookbook ban, as I think I've mentioned before. So I got A Modern Way to Cook by Anna Jones.
My best friend is obsessed
with Anna Jones. I thought you said my best friend is Anna Jones.
Oh yeah, I've never mentioned her. No, my best friend's obsessed with her.
She looks amazing. I follow her on Instagram and everything she does. She's got good taste.
Yeah, very good taste.
And then the other
thing... No pun intended.
Oh, I didn't even know I'd done that. And the other thing is from the library, and it's the Flavour Thesaurus, which isn't new, and it's by Nikki Segnit, and apparently she's bringing out a new book as well. But it's all about pairing up recipes and flavourings for the creative cook, so you can look up like chocolate and see all the different things that you can pair with it.
Oh, I like that. Let me know how you get on.
I will.
We have a very exciting thing going on today.
We do. We have a guest here, but we need to test the sound first.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We are delighted to be here with Fringe of It listener Julia Day today. Julia emailed us a few months ago after our money episode, which was number 20, if anyone has listened, and nominated herself to come on as a guest. And it proves if you don't ask, you don't get.
I loved Julia's email. And Julia runs a business called Easy As a VAT. And basically, Julia does 101 things, but hopefully I've summarised this. So you coach people to be more financially empowered, work with lots of clients on a one-to-one basis, as well as running events, online courses, and on your website as well. There's lots of templates and checklists to help you manage your money. And then a second ago, she just dropped in that she's got a podcast as well, which is called Easy Numbers.
I'm going to download that.
Yeah, literally. I can't wait.
Don't expect me to talk to you on the train later.
I'd rather you didn't. But anyway, let's hand over to Julia.
Yes. Can you tell us, how did it all begin?
Wow. It's a long story, but I'll try and keep it short. So basically, I studied English at uni, randomly. And then I got a graduate job and it was a dad's small company. So We just had to muck in doing everything. So I ended up doing VAT returns, which is super random. I was quite good at those. So my boss kept just giving me more accounting things to do. He was like, well, you're good at this, you can do that. And then he was like, do you want to study it and like become qualified? And I thought, well, why not? So I did that. And then on the side, I'd always been sort of blogging. So I like followed a lot of bloggers. And I always saw people being like, oh, I've got to do my tax return, I don't know what I'm doing, or like, oh, people keep paying me late all the time. So I was like, oh, well, I'll just put up a little blog and like tell people how to do it. Yeah.
And then, look at me literally like mouth on the floor.
I know. We're both like in awe because I know that whenever I have to, when January rolls around, I get clammy hands or like a brown envelope or ice from HMRC.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh God,
I would, I nearly,
they're coming for me this time.
I nearly brought my receipts and was like, Julia, while you're here. Sorry.
Interrupting.
So you started like giving people advice on your blog, money advice.
And then I kept getting people would like email me or like message me on Instagram and they'd be like, could you help me do this? And I'd be like, yes, of course. And then I was having a bit of a rough time at work sort of the end of last year. And I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to try and make this a business. So I did that. And then I thought I'd just do freelance accounting. But what people kept asking me for was they were like, can we just hop on Skype? And could you help me with this? So they wanted to do their own finances. But they just wanted someone to kind of give them a bit of a boost of confidence.
Yeah.
That they were doing it right. And to sort of like go through it a bit with them. And just kind of explain it. Because I think HMRC... the way they explain is quite confusing sometimes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like sometimes I'll read it and like as a trained accountant I'm like so I kind of wanted something that would make it easy for people to understand because I don't think it's right that a lot of people are put off starting their own business because they don't know how to deal with numbers, especially like creatives, because I think when you're a creative you're generally not so into like maths and stuff. Like completely. I certainly wasn't in school.
Yeah.
But it's not as scary as it seems, so I try and like do that basically. That
is so, do you know, as
I think Julia's like my most favourite person I've ever met.
I know. Yay! I feel like as someone who is like even doing my taxes this morning, it is something that I put off and put off and put off until like a few days before, and then I just get so I cannot get it.
Well, you want to be empowered, don't you? But it's not something that you're always taught.
It's the one side of the business that I think if I could hand it all over to someone, I would.
Yeah.
And they should never look at
that. But then that's how people end up running off with your money and going to Mexico.
Exactly.
See?
I think as well, like, even if you have an accountant, it's quite a good idea to, like, know sort of what's going on. Because as much as, you know, it's great if you've got a family friend who's an accountant because they're going to kind of look out for you. But I think if you just hire an accountant from someone who's worked in an accountancy sort of, like, firm before, it's pretty much just do that and we'll kind of take the client's word for it a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So, and also it's your responsibility. So if your accountant does it wrong or they file it late and that does happen, then it's still on you. So it's good to have an idea and to kind of know the dates and stuff. So even if you do have an accountant, you can be like, have you done my tax return yet?
Yeah, no, that's so important. I think it is empowering to know how to do that, even if in a small way. Like I grew up in a household that my dad's been self-employed, so I've always kind of been around the self-assessment around January. I've always kind of been around it, and I feel really lucky for that. But it is so daunting. I think when you do start your own business, no one says, oh, by the time you're earning this much, that's when you need to start filing it.
Exactly.
No one tells you.
Yeah, and even things like that, like, you don't know when you have to register.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people...
I learnt the hard way.
Oh, God.
The envelope came, and I was like... right, and then it's backtracking, but you don't know, like, no one's kind of, it's down to you, and it's having that responsibility, but it's hard.
Yeah, and I try and say to people, like, look, I know it's quite boring, but also there's something, like, really nice about kind of being able to look at things and go, ooh, I made this much money this year, or being aware of, like, when you need to do things.
It is quite satisfying when it's done, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like the done feeling, I just don't like the doing feeling.
So, yeah, I've got that at the end of today, hopefully. I've got to pay it first.
I mean, that's always the ouch feeling. But I think it was interesting in the emails that I sent to you, you were talking about money generally being quite a taboo subject. Because I know we've talked a bit about freelance being self-employed, but I think some of the things that you want to talk about and some of the things you work on is to, you know, empower all of us to kind of be more... what's the word? Educated on money.
Financially savvy.
Yeah, that's the one.
It's a good word. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of one of those things, like, it's seen as a bit crass, isn't it? To, like, talk about money.
Yeah.
But I don't think it should be. And I also think, especially if you're self-employed, or especially with the sort of the gender pay gap and all that, it would actually really benefit us to talk more about it. And maybe not necessarily go up to people like, how much do you earn?
Yeah.
But, like, to sort of be more open and kind of say, well, like, for you guys, you know, as, I don't know if you use the I word, influence.
Oh, well, we talked about it enough last week, didn't we?
Oh, my God.
It would be really helpful, probably, if you could see what other people were being paid, and you could say, well, because some people I know who do the same job as you have found out that actually so-and-so is getting paid, like, 10 grand more than them for something. And if we were all a bit more open about it, it would be a lot easier.
Yeah, as well. And I think that's something, especially, we've spoken about before, because then you can say, oh, God, you need to be charging more. Or
exactly.
This is what your value is.
All I ever say to friends is charge more, because...
Just add that.
Yeah.
Obviously, I feel like I'm quite a good judge of a situation, so I know whether to go in with the money chat or whether to just shut my mouth, which generally I just go in for the money chat. But I always say to people, if you don't mind me asking, what did you charge for that? Like, not even our industry, but, you know, different things. I was, like, on the train home with an artist friend yesterday, and I was like, oh, cool. Like, how much do you make from that a weekend? And I was like, you could charge extra for this, or you could charge extra for this. And, you know, I just think it's nice, because then people... We've all got different ideas, and money's just like an exchange of energy, really, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it's just a resource. Like people are like, ooh, money's evil. It's like, no, it's not. It hasn't got any feelings. Like, yeah, sure, bad people have money, but also good people have money. And also some bad people don't have any money. But because I think...
Oh, that's like, almost giving me goosebumps. That was so
People are kind of a bit like, especially where I'm from, obviously I'm from Liverpool, you can probably tell, and it is quite a working class city, so it can be seen as a bit, you know, you're getting a bit above your station, or like if you're rich, you're sort of betraying the working class or whatever. Everyone's got their sort of, I guess, opinion on it. But actually, like, how great would it be if all the good people had loads of money?
Yeah.
Like, so
completely.
But there is sort of a bit of a taboo and a bit of a, I don't know, it's like the whole, am I allowed to swear?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like the whole like rich bitch thing.
Yeah.
So yeah. I have a lot of thoughts on that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. So what is your history with money? Like how, such a broad question.
You said in the email, we've been emailing back and forth, you said like 2 years ago, you said you weren't in a good place with money. You were open, so I thought we'd go.
I like talking about it because I think I don't want people to think, oh, she knows about money, so she's like up here and I'm down there and she's the pro. And I'm like, no, seriously, I just like, I know about it, but I'm not, I don't want to be that like authority on it. But yeah, I used to be so awful with money, and I would literally be that person with like £10 to payday, and then I would just like go and blow it all on ASOS.
We've all been there.
Yeah. But like, I think growing up, it kind of shaped me because my dad's a lawyer and he was quite well off, but he would always be like spending the money, so he wasn't really in savings. And then my mum was sort of like not very well off, so we always kind of struggled. But it was weird because we were between the two houses, so like with my dad we were always like going off food and getting new clothes, and then with my mum it was like, oh, like we need to get all the 2-for-1s because that's what we can afford. So I think as soon as I had my own money, I was just like, right, I'm buying whatever I want.
Yeah.
And I was a bit like out of control with it. And I was doing really well, like kind of in my job, I was getting paid quite a lot, but I never had savings or anything. And I just kind of thought, do you know what? This is ridiculous. I think I was like living off like super noodles before payday.
In like fluffy ASOS gowns.
Yeah. Just surrounded by clothes.
I know.
But yeah, and I just thought this is wrong. Like, how does this even happen? So I think I'd read The Secret or something like that, which I know is a bit of a controversial book. And then I was like, there's something in this mindset stuff. So I read like a few sort of like mindset books. And I think from like what I learned from that was that we all kind of have like a money story, and we all kind of have something that kind of blocks us.
Yeah.
Whether
I mean, nodding because I agree with this so much.
Yeah, see, like my kind of money story was like, well, money is really hard to keep hold of, so I need to spend it all while it's there because it's gonna go away. And actually, that's not really true. But I'm good with money now, hopefully.
I know a few people. I mean, hopefully, I'm not betraying any confidential conversations, and I won't mention any names. I've had a few friends who have kind of grown up in kind of not great financial situation. So now they earn money, but they spend it because they think like hanging on to money is a really scary thing. And like you say, I think I've mentioned before that my parents went bankrupt when I was younger. So I kind of grew up thinking that money can just disappear.
Yeah,
like it can be here today, gone tomorrow. Whereas Jack has a completely different attitude to money, and that's that, like you say, it's that money story,
yeah,
isn't it? And I think that's so interesting.
And it's the mindset thing as well. Mm. So going back to that, can you talk us about like why that is so important with money, like having that kind of mindset and ways to manage?
I think especially like when it comes to managing money, because it is such a scary thing, because we do need it to, like, you know, pay our bills and stuff. It's something that we want to push under the covers a bit. So I guess that we have that, like, the mindset of, like, oh, money is really scary, money is really hard to deal with, and that just, like, blocks us from, like, dealing with it. Sorry, I'm doing loads of hand gestures.
It's fine. I'm enjoying
beautiful
them.
Beautiful hand gestures.
Yeah, they're really great.
Shut your eyes and imagine.
I wish you could see Julia. She's got this beautiful floral dress on. She's,
I know.
Yeah, she's
great cat eye as well.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Very chic.
Nice,
that's the
nice
highest compliment anyone can give me.
I mean, I was going to talk about the hair as well, because that looks like it's had a blow dry. But anyway.
But yeah, so I think, like, when I work with people, as much as I give the practical advice of, like, okay, so when you do your tax return, this is what you need to know, and these are what you can claim as an expense, it's very much, like, helping people with their mindset, because usually their mindset is, I'm bad with maths, I don't know how to deal with it. And people always email me and they're going to be like, oh, you're going to think I'm such an idiot. And I'm like, honestly, no, not at all.
It's funny, those, like you say, those emails, because I was at a wedding drunk.
The best story.
Yeah. But I was like chatting to people that I'd gone to school with, and I was like, oh, well, you were really good at PE. And I wasn't. And what I think a lot of stuff is that hungover from, like, hang-ups from school. Because if you weren't naturally athletic at my school, it was like, well, just go and do something else. And that's the same kind of with maths as well. So it's like, if you're not great at maths, sometimes, like, you're not always giving nurturing time to get good at maths. And then it's just like, I'm not good at maths, I'm not good at sport.
And that's just what you think forever. Yeah. But also, I think with money, like, it isn't really maths that much. It's just sort of being aware, like, how scary is it? I don't know if you guys have had this, but I used to be terrified to check my bank account.
Oh yeah, I think most people have been there. I remember when I was interning, I went in to study at Schmitz. This one story that always sticks with me, and I went to buy the NME and my card got declined, and he was like, oh no, that always happens in here. And I did it again, it got declined again, and I was like, oh my god. And it's that kind of thing, that it's the fear, and it kind of that stays with you.
Yeah, and it's like the shame, like there's so much like shame around money,
and it's, and we've all been there, like, around, especially,
like, putting things back at the supermarket. Oh, can you just put these 10 boxes of Monty Bojangle truffles back? I'm joking. But, you know, that kind of thing.
But I think, especially when you're freelance, and there's such a kind of, like, pressure to kind of, I mean, with any job, actually, I say freelance, but I do think it is a universal thing. I think everyone has, like you say, their own kind of money story and the way they've had different relationships. And I feel like, especially growing up in a household that had a self-employed parent, like, my mum was very much like, from the word go, she was like, save.
Mm.
And that's been so deep-rooted in me.
I wish someone deep-rooted that in me.
I do. See, that's the thing as well. So, like, we've obviously got a sort of different money story there. Because, like, both of us, like, I don't think my parents have ever, I think they've said save, but they haven't said, like, why it's important or anything.
I think it was kind of like, oh, because when you start earning this, you'll need to pay tax on it. So just put, like, 20% to one side.
Yeah.
And it was that education, although I wasn't always very good at it, it was kind of knowing that I need to pay for something in a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not there, I can't pay for it.
Yeah.
And it was almost like having that kind of changed my perspective a little bit, and that, like, a little light switch went on. But I know how lucky I am to have had that education with it, because if I hadn't had that, you know, I don't know.
You could have been me. And it's taken me nearly a decade to figure it out, self-employed. But I think self-employed or PAYE, I think budgeting is probably the one thing that most people need help with. What would be your, obviously, you can pay for Julia's services, but, you know, have you got any free tips that you can give people?
Oh, yeah, loads. You're going to regret asking that.
No.
So I think, firstly, obviously, check your bank balance, see what's going on there.
Just face up to whatever's happening.
Yeah, just go
one
and have
other.
A look. Also, like, if you don't check it, it can only get worse. But if you do check it, you can do something about it. So.
Oh, I like that. Top tip.
Yeah, face the head on. Use, like, a money tracker. So there are apps that you can use to do that, or I like a good old spreadsheet. I actually have one on my website, so If you go on my website and search from Spending Tracker, it will come up.
And Julia's website, we will tell you in a bit. I have got it up. Julia, what's your website? It'd probably be quicker.
It's easyasvat.com. So if you go to the blog, there's like a search bar and you just search like Money Tracker, Spending Tracker.
And then what, so once you've, how long would you suggest that people like track what they're spending?
I'd say a month.
Yeah.
But if you're impatient like me, maybe like a week. But see like where your money's going. Because like for me, when I did it, I was shocked at the amount that I spent in Tesco, in Cafe Nero, and like just like random things. And it kind of allows you to see where your money's going when you don't realise it.
Yeah.
Especially with contactless cards.
I mean...
Like, it's free. Yeah, this is fine.
Just tapping here, there and everywhere.
I've realised how much I spend on Deliveroo today. That was a little bit of a...
I think
especially because it's not tax deductible either. So I was like, well, maybe we should...
I think mine would be like Tesco, Sainsbury's, all good supermarkets. But because I do pop quite a lot, so I think I'd probably... be shocked, because I did get a money tracker and then I was like, I'm a bit scared, but I need to face it head on. I will take your advice.
It's like those trackers that tell you how much time you spent on your phone.
Oh my god, turn mine off. I was like, I can't deal with that. I need to know. Business, and technically it's okay.
I know, that's my excuse. Like, don't want to know, don't need to know.
So then once people have like trapped their money for a week or a month, what would you kind of say next steps would be?
So firstly, look for anything that you're like, oh, that's a bit more than I thought it would be, or you know, any patterns. So like if you're going to Tesco every single day, because it does cost more. Like, you think it wouldn't, but it really does.
Mm.
So I was doing that. And then, like, now we just do a weekly shop and, like, do all our meal planning. And it takes, like, an hour on a Sunday. And it's not the most fun hour, but it saves a lot of money.
Yeah, so definitely.
Also use cash. Like, you just reminded me of that. Like, so cash is a lot harder to spend because you kind of know how much you've got left all the time. Whereas with your contactless, you're just like, swipe.
Yeah.
I was shocked, actually. I came to London maybe 2 weeks ago and I had a day to myself. I mean, that was the champagne and £6 chocolate cake day. But I got home and I was like, oh, wow. A few beep, beep, beeps here, there, you know.
Yeah.
And now I'm paying for it, kind of thing.
£100.
Yeah, literally, goodbye.
I know. And it really adds up. I think, yeah, if you've got your cash on you, you can kind of see, you can be like, right, I'm getting that out for this week. That is what I can do this week. Also, back to cooking. And ordering your weekly shop, sometimes I find if I pick out recipes for the week from one cookbook, a lot of the same ingredients pop up.
Yeah.
So you can kind of get all of your meals if you're in the whole week, kind of based around similar things. So if you've got to buy some weird herbs that you haven't got, you're like, I will get the use out of them.
Exactly.
And I think that's quite nice as well, but not, I mean, your tips are.
Yeah, I used to be so bad for like just buying like a random herb and never using it again.
Yeah.
And then like one recipe.
You see it again, you're like, oh, this is a funny colour.
Yeah. I mean, at least they're in like 80p or something.
Oh, those 80p's add up, girls.
They really do. Mentioning in the emails that you said there's a lot of pressure around money.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think is the most common cause or problem around that? Because I feel that's a bit of a beefy one. Beefy.
Maybe Instagram.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't go on Instagram and not come off it going, oh, I really want this new dress.
That is, oh God.
We are the problem.
We are the problem. And yeah, I'm exactly, I relate.
But I think also with what you do, there must be a lot of pressure to keep up and kind of post new outfits all the time.
There is. I mean, I feel like it's something as I've grown up, I've been a lot more like immune to it. But I think there is that kind of keeping up with the Joneses kind of feel where you think people are doing hauls and they're spending a lot and it normalizes that almost perspective of excess where you're like, I need to go shopping. And when I go to Topshop, I need to buy 6 things.
Yeah.
Like I can't just go in for a t-shirt. I have to go in and buy 4 t-shirts. And
I am trying to be more kind of like, so you can see things throughout my Instagram. Like, how many times have you seen me in this dress now?
No, but
I've noticed that. And like, I like that you say when things have been sent as well, because I think it's really easy for, you know, sort of a young woman or a teenage girl of any age really to look through and be like, oh, how are they buying all these new clothes? And a lot of it is gifted, and that's great, but it's important to sort of be transparent about it and be like, 100%. I have this because it was sent to me.
I do think it's taken me a while, but one of my things about Instagram, if I'm starting to feel like the shopping, like it's a little itch and it's like, let's go shopping, I'll like log out of Instagram. And then if I'm still thinking about that thing, like, there's certain things that I've been thinking about for months and months and months. And, you know, I might ask them for Christmas. But maybe sometimes, like, 2 hours later, you've completely forgotten about what that thing was.
Exactly.
Whereas, but the danger, obviously, with Instagram is now they've got the shop function. You can just click.
and it's done.
And it's done, but it's trying to stop yourself in the midst of that.
Yeah, like, if you, a good tip is to, like, leave it. So obviously you can save things on Instagram, saved items on ASOS, my advice, and, like, leave it for, like, a few days. Yeah. And then come back. So many times I go back into my saved items and I'm like, what was I thinking?
I know, and you forget about half the things, and it's sometimes it's like a nice surprise, but sometimes you're like, I literally don't remember putting that in there.
Yeah.
Which means if you don't remember putting it in your virtual basket, you're not going to remember it in your wardrobe.
Yeah, exactly. So many companies do that saved items now. I really like doing that. And then you're like, no, Charlotte of 3 days ago. That was a terrible choice.
Who are you? I think about why you want it as well. Like, do you want it because, you know, someone else looks good in it, or because you're feeling that pressure to keep up, or because you've had a rubbish day and you feel a bit crap and you've eaten loads of chocolate and you're like, oh, I'll buy some new makeup and that'll cheer me up. Like,
I've been terrible for that lately.
I can be a bit of an emotional shopper.
Yeah.
Me too.
I've been an emotional toiletry and makeup shopper recently. Like, the eyeshadows that have dropped through my door. Wow. Oh
my God. I'm more of a clothes shopper when I'm emotional.
Well, the thing is, because they're a smaller price point.
Well,
but then
they add up.
Depends where you're getting your eyeshadows.
Yeah,
especially if you're going for, like, Charlotte Tilbury or something.
Yeah, it depends. It all depends.
Let's move on from our personal spending, because it's making me feel a little bit naughty. Yeah. I was going to say, what's your most frequently asked questions from clients? But I think we've pretty much kind of covered those.
Yeah, pricing I get a lot.
Yeah. Oh, let's talk about pricing.
Oh, okay. I like that topic.
Yeah. So what, people just don't know what to charge for things?
Yeah, so, like, people really undervalue what they do. And they're like, oh, like, I can't possibly charge for that. And I always kind of encourage people to have a look at what other people who, like, do the same thing or, like, similar to them do. See how much they charge. And often, like shell-shocked from it, and they're like, I can't believe they charge that much. And I'm like, well, would you pay for that? And they're like, yeah. And, like, think about how much time you put in, but also think about sort of, like, who your client is or who your customer is. Because, like, so I work with small businesses, and lots of the time they're just starting out, so it wouldn't make sense for me to charge thousands and thousands of pounds. And at the same time, I'm like, well, I really want them to value it and, like, do the work as well, so I'm like, it's got to be a bit higher.
Yeah.
And, like, the one piece of advice that always comes up from, like, reading, like, because I just, like, a proper book where I just read everything. One of the, like, the things I always read is, like, set a price that makes you a little bit uncomfortable. And the worst thing people can say is no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how many times does someone ever come back and be like, how dare you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Nobody has ever gone, you are taking the
piss. You con artist.
Yeah, they'll be like, no, unfortunately, that's not within our budget. Or
exactly.
like you say, small businesses setting up that client or that customer will go elsewhere. And also sometimes if you do take on those jobs that, you know, you might be a bit skint that month and you like to, and it actually ends up taking up a lot of your emotional time because it's not quite the job you thought it was going to be, or like the customer ends up emailing you back and forth because, I don't know, they've spent too much money on something and then they want a refund or the quality, or, you know what I mean? It ends up kind of being, I don't know, it's a tricky one because when you need the money, you need the money, but at the same time, it's sticking to those principles,
like,
it
builds resentment, especially if you kind of say yes to something and then you realise that you've really undercharged.
Yeah.
You don't really want to do it. You feel a bit resentful.
I was going to say that. The amount of conversations I've had, even with Joe, where, you know, he's given a cost to someone, they've said yes straight away and he's gone, I know I could have gone higher.
Yeah.
And I know my work is worth more, but I didn't want them to say no because I want the job.
Exactly.
And it's that kind of, you're trying to, you know, you're not double bluffing, but you're just like, oh, this is my value. And then you're like, no, my value is more.
Yeah, like, we're all scared of, like, rejection. Like,
yeah.
I'm the same. And, like, sometimes people do come back to me and they're like, well, as a small business, I can't afford that. And I'm like, I'm a small business.
Yeah, that's true. It's not like, you know, you're not Richard Branson sat there in Virgin Towers.
Being, I wish. Like,
yeah, you will be one day, I think, with this advice.
I hope you were slightly better hair.
Your hair's sensational. We've only got one more money related question.
One more money related question, which is coming from moi. You work with a lot of wonderful creative freelancers, and you did mention the rise in females earning money for what are deemed feminine qualities.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit more about that?
Of course we can.
Yeah, that ties a bit into kind of like knowing your worth as well,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, definitely. Sure.
Definitely a nice carry on.
It's quite hard to, like, I guess, know your worth as, like, a creative, I think. Like, would you guys agree with that?
Oh, 100%.
Because it's, like, it's not a tangible thing that you're giving someone. It's sort of I guess it's up to you and it's up to them how much it's worth. But I feel like there's kind of a rise in, like, so things like, you know, fashion-related things, they're becoming a bit more lucrative. Obviously, if you look at people like, I don't know, Zoe Sugg, she's literally making a living, like, doing something that she loves. And I think there's kind of a rise in that, and there's, like, things like coaching are more valued, things like writing. And they're all kind of, like, feminine, not to generalise, but they're more feminine traits mm-hmm. of, like, talking and listening and being creative. And I think maybe there's, like, a bit of a backlash against that rise of, like, feminine qualities being a bit more lucrative, maybe. Like, I think you guys mentioned Sarah Tasker on the last one.
Mm.
And she's someone who's, like, you know, she's very softly spoken, and she's not, like, I think there used to be this sort of, I guess, stereotype, like, a successful woman is kind of, like,
a brash businesswoman. Yeah. Be like, yeah, like, almost strict head teacher, like.
Mm, yeah, like, big shoulder pads. I was thinking shoulder pads. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, like, you don't have to be like that now. And, like, it's quite empowering to think that you can make a living from, like, you know, your style, or like from writing about things that you love. But I do think there's, like, a bit of a backlash against it as well. Like the thing with Scarlett London a couple of weeks ago, did you guys see that?
Yeah, we were talking about that. That was a sponsored Instagram post for Listerine, wasn't it, in case nobody's seen it. And she was sat on the bed, and there was a Listerine bottle on the bedside table, but there were quite a lot of balloons in the room. And then I think my only criticism about it was the pancakes on the bed weren't pancakes, they were tortillas. Which actually half of me is like, that's inspired. Pancakes take a long time. Yeah.
And it's like cold pancakes.
It's like when people use mashed potato instead of ice cream for those, like, pictures in the cones.
Oh my God.
For, like, styled photo shoots. When people use like mash instead of ice cream at 99.
It doesn't melt. And apparently they put hairspray on, like, burgers sometimes, so it's a bit of a sheen. Yeah.
Food styling.
I've got no words. Yeah, actually, let's get, cancel this interview and let's get a food stylist in, because this is
dream job.
Yeah, but sorry, back to Scarlett.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the backlash against that, and it was horrible. Like, some of the comments, like, someone said, "I hope she chokes on those balloons and stuff." And
it's,
like,
oh my God!
Why would you take such umbrage against someone? Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Like, just from making money from that. And the fact is, people don't like it because it's easy. I mean, it's not easy. I don't do it personally, but it's seen as easy.
Mm.
I think when you haven't had to build the following and the reputation, people are like, I could do that. And it's like, well, why are you not doing it then?
Yeah.
It's that kind of like, oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
And it's that resentment.
Yeah.
That, yeah, like, and people don't see that work because it takes a long time to sort of get to the point where brands want to pay you to do something.
I think I joined Instagram in 2007.
I think that's it, and I think people...
No, did I? Was it around then?
Potentially.
I don't know.
But it's that thing where you want to make it look... You have it's almost part of your job description to make what you do look easy. But it's stress-free.
And these pictures are all over Instagram. It's not just here. That is, like, a really popular kind of Instagram picture.
Yeah, like an aesthetic.
But I think what we all said before we sat down, because I couldn't believe how much Julia does, you know, with the workshops, the podcasts, the downloads, the one-on-one coaching clients. And I was like, Julia, you're making this look so easy. But you said, you know...
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, the duck's swimming really smoothly, but the feet are going underwater. And I think that's most females, that's, to be honest.
And those kind of pictures, as I'm sure you guys know, like, you both do, like, gorgeous Instagram pictures, and it takes work to make them look nice.
Yeah.
I've photographed a vase from about 47 different angles where I left the house this morning. I've honestly got about 200 pictures of said vase, and I'm just going to do it tomorrow with a proper camera.
I think it's just, like, it's marrying, like, professionalism and realness with still making it look easy, but not being... having anyone under this false pretense that what you're doing is an easy job either, but you don't want to whinge because you feel like you're fortunate to be doing it.
And people get annoyed because obviously it used to be, so I used to want to be a journalist, and then I was like, do you know what, I really can't afford to do an internship in London.
Mm.
And now people don't have to do that. You can just, you don't have to go to uni, you don't even have to get A-levels really. You can just write a blog, and if you are good at it and if you're persistent with it, you can build up that following and you can make it a job and you can write for a living, and you don't have to be sort of, you know, quite well off and be able to live in London and not get paid.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's a slight air of snobbery around that, of people being like, well, they didn't have to work for them. It's like, no, they did. It's just that there's other ways now, and there's nothing wrong with it not being as hard.
I was talking to a florist yesterday at a workshop, and she, you know, I was talking about when I went to uni 10 years ago and what that was like, and she did a floral course 10 years ago, and it cost £1,000. But she said, I wouldn't do that now because there's so many options available. You know, there's weekend courses to be a florist. And she said, I would just train on the job because actually the floristry course she did was very much, you know, that kind of like neats. I would maybe
wedding,
call
it, traditional
Kate
wedding.
Middleton flowers kind of thing. Yeah. And she was like, you know, I didn't even enjoy it that much, but that was all that was on offer then. Whereas now she was, you know, she said she advises people to do totally different things. So I'm interested to see where the next few years is going to take
anybody.
And
you get more creative freedom now as well. And it's kind of like, well, why is it bad? Like, surely it's a good thing that you can, it doesn't have to be that way, where you have to go and like slog it out for no money.
Or completely. That can only be a good thing.
Oh, we've got a visitor, four-legged one.
Oh, we've got our other guest.
Maggie, she's always quite quiet though. Well, on that note, I'm going to wrap it up. The money talk, you have been absolutely amazing. Like,
so
the
good
amount of information that you've given us today is so, so valuable. So, are you on Instagram, Julia?
I am.
But what are you on Instagram?
I'm just easy as VAT.
So you can find Julia on Instagram, and she's easy as VAT on Instagram, and Julia's website, which is www.easyasvat.com. And your podcast, Julia, is called
Easy Numbers.
So there's a bit of homework for everybody.
And I don't think it'll be homework. It will just be, oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. I'm so thrilled you could join us.
Yeah, I feel like I've done my tax return just listening to you.
I wish.
And we will speak to you all next week.
Yes.
If you would like to review us, rate us and subscribe, it helps other people find us. And if you would like to join the Facebook group, it's facebook.com/groups/fringeofit.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.